The most beautiful thing in this world and its universe is the Word of God. All of the answers to life's hard questions are answered here. All of the solutions to life's hard problems are solved here. Who we are, where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going, all answered in God's Holy Bible. The Word of God is alive, and it brings life to all who embrace it. The Word of God is a person. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Revelation 19:13 says this of Jesus Christ, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Have you tired of all the foolishness of carnal life? Do you yearn to be free of your sin and shame and of all sin's bondages? Do you want the answers, the solutions, and to know who you are, where you came from, and where you're going? Would you love to possess a purpose that's bigger than all of this life? All of this is found in the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls this beautiful place born again. Will today be your day of salvation? Will today be the day you become born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Make your decision for Jesus Christ while you still have time. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the marvelous kingdom of God. Do it right now. We'll wait for you here. Now for today's subject. God said, Psalms 33:7, He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. God said, Job 38:30, The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. God said, Psalms 8:8, The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. God said, Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God said, Proverbs 9, verse 1, Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Man said, The Bible has no value to this enlightened society. We've outgrown its usefulness. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature article 796 that will once again certify the inerrancy of your majority text authorized King James Version of the Holy Bible. All of these powerful features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as bait for the fishers of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Be sure to take advantage of three very useful tools on God Said, Man Said. One, you have questions? God has answers. Whatever your question, type a keyword into the search bar top right and watch the screen populate with related information from Adam and Eve to quantum physics. Two, use the tell a friend feature above to send a message to someone you love. It's so quick and easy. Number three, imagine you can download nearly 280 hours of God Said, Man Said features to your electronic device. Listen to one every day. Thank you for coming today. May the face of our God shine upon you and your house. When the lovers of the book come across many of the Bible's strange and peculiar groupings of words, a special excitement and expectation takes hold. Deep secrets and strong confirmation of Holy Writ are regularly found at this place. How did a bunch of mere men, as the skeptics claim, write such marvelous scientific insights thousands of years before today's science began to understand and much of the time inadvertently confirm? The simple answer is the scriptures were authored by the God of all-knowing and penned to paper by his holy men. In the strange and peculiar groupings of words department, consider Job 38:30. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Also Psalms 24:1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The following sentences are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Geologists Floored by Water Rock. Writing in the journal Nature, scientists on Wednesday said they had found an elusive mineral pointing to the existence of a vast reservoir deep in Earth's mantle, 250 to 375 miles beneath our feet. It may hold as much water as all the planet's oceans combined, they believe. The evidence comes from a water-loving mineral called ringwoodite that came from the so-called transition zone sandwiched between the upper and lower layers of Earth's mantle, they said. This sample really provides extremely strong confirmation that there are local wet spots deep in the Earth in this area, said Graham Pearson of Canada's University of Alberta, who led the research. That particular zone in the Earth, the transition zone, might have as much water as all the world's oceans put together. Ringwoodite is named after Australian geologist Ted Ringwood, who theorized that a special mineral was bound to be created in the transition zone because of the ultra-high pressures and temperatures there. A piece of this mineral has been a long-sought goal. It would resolve a long-running debate about whether the poorly understood transition zone is bone dry or water rich. Hans Kepler, a geologist at the University of Bayreuth in Germany, cautioned against extrapolating the size of the subterranean water find from a single sample of ringwoodite. And he also said the water was likely to be locked up in specific rocks in a molecular form called hydroxyl. In some ways, it is an ocean in Earth's interior as visualized by Jules Verne, although not in the form of liquid water, Kepler said in a commentary also published by Nature. Kepler speaks of water that is locked up in specific rocks, even as Job, arguably the oldest book of the Bible, records in chapter 38, verse 30, end of quotes. Strange and peculiar groupings of words are found in Psalms 8, verse 8. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. And these words that I've just read to you literally change the world. Recently, astrophysicist Neil Tyson, host of the television series Cosmos, made this challenge to the Christian ranks. If you start using your scripture, your religious text, as a source of your science, that's where you run into problems, and there is no example of someone reading their scriptures and saying, "I have a prediction about the world that no one knows yet because this gave me insight. Let's go test this prediction and have that theory turn out to be correct." One of the examples offered to Mr. Tyson in the God Said, Man Said feature Cosmos Host Attacks Bible follows. Has anyone had a prediction about the world, a prediction that they discovered in the plain reading of the Word of God and succeeded in proving that prediction correct? The man's name is Matthew Maury, and he holds the title of Father of Oceanography, Pathfinder of the Seas, and Father of Naval Meteorology. This famous scientist developed the National Observatory and helped found the U.S. Naval Academy and National Weather Bureau, as well as being instrumental in laying the transatlantic telegraph cable. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature Paths in the Sea. The profits of obedience are immeasurable, and so it is concerning the discoveries of one Matthew Fontaine Maury. Matthew Maury, known as the father of oceanography, was a U.S. naval officer who lived during the 1800s. After an injury forced an early retirement, Mr. Maury was awarded the job of overseeing the depot of charts and instruments of the Hydrographic Office in the U.S. Navy spanning 20 years from 1841 to 1861. Matthew was an ardent follower of Jesus Christ and had complete confidence in the accuracy of the Word of God, a confidence that became immensely profitable to all mankind. He read Psalms 8:8 and Ecclesiastes 1:6 and saw the great practical significance of paths in the sea and circuits of the wind. It is Matthew Maury who discovered and plotted many of the wind circuits and ocean currents, or paths in the sea, such as the 40-mile-wide, 2,000-feet-deep Gulf Current, the Japanese Current, the California Current, and more. The seagoing vessels in Maury's days applied these discoveries and cut down the time needed to cross the ocean by as much as 3 weeks. Today's air travel uses jet streams discovered by Matthew Maury. The state of Virginia erected a monument of honor to their native son, and in its plaque it reads, Matthew Montaigne Maury, Pathfinder of the Seas, the genius who first snatched from the oceans and atmosphere the secret of their laws. His inspiration? Holy Writ, Psalms 8:8, Ecclesiastes 1:6. The nearly 3 weeks of savings for seagoing vessels, as well as hefty savings in time and fuel for air travel, have registered enormous benefits, huge savings of man-hours, reduced cost of food and fuel, less wear and tear on the ships and planes, and more, resulting in a lower cost to ship goods and consequently a lower cost of merchandise and travel expense to the entire world. Obeying God's words is always a profitable thing to do. Did Mr. Tyson consider the colossal archaeological discoveries that have been unearthed with the spade in one hand and the Bible in the other? Mr. Barton also printed the following concerning Matthew Maury. Maury used other Bible verses to make additional significant discoveries that revolutionized science. When criticized for his reliance on the Bible, Maury responded, I have been blamed by men of science, both in this country and in England, for quoting the Bible in confirmation of the doctrines of physical geography. The Bible, they say, was not written for scientific purposes and is therefore of no authority in matters of science. I beg pardon. The Bible is authority for everything it touches. The Bible is true and science is true. They are both true. And when your men of science, with vain and hasty conceit, announce the discovery of disagreement between them, rely upon it. The fault is not with the witness or his records, but with the worn, sinful human who essays to interpret evidence which he does not understand. End of quote. Beautiful, strange, and peculiar groupings of words found in the Book of Life would include Revelation 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is called the Alpha and Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The Word of God is mentioned in the prelude is not printer's ink and paper, but spirit and life. The Word of God is God, John 1:1, and Revelation 19 declares the name of His Christ as the Word of God. The Word of God is not a what, but a whom, a living, all-knowing Creator. Jesus Christ is the first and last letter of any alphabet, and all the words in between. Concerning the omnipotent power of words, Proverbs 18:21 reads, Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We're literally made out of words, God's words. Proverbs 9, verse 1 through 6. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. These words were penned approximately 3,000 years ago, a strange and peculiar grouping of words. Today's neuroscience is just beginning to understand its meaning. Dr. Caroline Leaf, in her new book, The Gift in You, writes concerning the mystery of the seven pillars. A few excerpts from Dr. Leaf's book follow. The implications are that wisdom and good judgment are built and take time to develop. Throughout the Word of God, we are instructed to get wisdom. It's not a choice. It's an instruction to build a house of wisdom in our minds. Scientifically, the brain is also built on seven pillars, which when used properly produce clear, intelligent, and wise thinking. These seven main areas of the brain were revealed through imaging techniques that observe activity in people's brains as they perform different tasks. We will discuss these seven pillars more, but it is important that God's Word and His wisdom are the strongest foundation. Brain science is very clear on the benefits of thinking deeply to develop the brain's intelligence and wisdom. As a popular phrase in the world of neuroscience puts it, use it or lose it. The more you think, the more your brain grows, making you wiser and more intelligent. The development of your brain is under your own control. We are not victims of biology or environment. Our brains were designed with an ability to restructure and rewire, to control our reactions to circumstances and events in our lives, and to develop our wisdom. You perceive the world and the creative brilliance of your mind through seven types of thought. Dr. Leaf goes on to define the seven pillars. So the neurons in the front of the brain, the frontal cortex, that is the location of the intrapersonal pillar, deal with decision-making, planning, deep analyzing, shifting between thoughts, realizing goals, and developing strategies. When we are introspective, we are using this type of thought. Just behind the intrapersonal pillar is the interpersonal pillar, which is involved in social interaction, communications, turn-taking, and tuning into the needs of others. The intrapersonal pillar is followed by the linguistic pillar, which deals with spoken and written language. After the linguistic pillar is the logical mathematical pillar, which deals with reasoning, logic, scientific thinking, numbers, and problem solving. Next is the kinesthetic pillar that provides sensory and body awareness. Then comes the musical pillar, which of course is music-based, but also includes the ability to read between the lines and distinguish gut instincts. Finally, there is the visual spatial pillar at the back of the brain, which is where we imagine and form mental maps. Your unique thinking pattern requires that you think by moving through the seven different pillars of the brain's thought in a particular order, with a signature amount of bandwidth given to that function. When we start exploring the seven pillars of thought, an integral principle is that all seven of these pillars work together very, very intimately. They don't work separately, and they are all interconnected, end of quotes. Wisdom and her seven pillars, a strange and peculiar grouping of words confirmed by today's neuroscience. God's word is true and righteous altogether, every jot and every tittle. It's a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Psalms 33:7, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. God said, Job 38:30, the waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. God said, Psalms 8:8, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. God said, Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God said, Proverbs 9:1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Man said, the Bible has no value to this enlightened society. We've outgrown its usefulness. Now you have the record.